open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. Welcome. Happy St. Patty's Day.
It's a good one.
Happy Tournament Day.
Happy New Signing Day.
Happy New Signing Day. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs along for the ride here on this Thursday. And we are very happy to kick today's show off with the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, former second-round pick out of UCLA, safety Raheem Moore, who joins us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Raheem, welcome to Cleveland, my friend.
Man, I appreciate that, man. Thanks for having me.
We're certainly happy to have you. And just if you could talk to us a little bit about, you know, you started your career in Denver last year, in Houston, now here with the Browns. What led you to the Browns, and why did you want to be a part of what Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown are trying to build here?
Well, you know what, man? The Browns organization and the history is just, it's remarkable. You know, if you think about all the great players that I've looked up to and known about, like, you know, a guy like Eric Turner, who came out of UCLA, was a great player for you. Don Rogers. Yeah, Tom Darden, you know, even from the current guys and the previous guys that just came, you know, guys like Tashaun Gibson and T.J. Ward and Joe Hayden and Dante Wooden. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's a perfect fit, man. And, you know, that's the reason why I came to Cleveland, man. You know, I see a team that's on a come-up. I see the vision that they have. The aura is great. I believe Coach Jackson is going to do an unbelievable job of doing everything he can to help win. And that's what I'm here for, to help win and compete.
And that's an amazing thing, and that's exactly what I believe they need to interject into this roster, and something they've been lacking over the last few years. And I would imagine that with the departure of Tashaun Gibson via free agency, with an opportunity and the resume that you've accumulated in a few years here in the National Football League, it had to be very appealing for you to not only come to Cleveland, but an opportunity to play and on a one-year deal, really prove what you can do again in the National Football League.
Absolutely. You know, but you know how the NFL is? Everything is day-to-day. Everything is week by week, Sunday by Sunday. Even though I signed a one-year deal, that's not my mindset going into here with Cleveland. My mindset is this: I want to stay here. I don't want to leave. I want to finish the rest of my career here. But God handle all that. I know one thing I'm here to do is help this team win and build and compete, man. I'm very excited. It's another fresh start for me, and this start seems a little more fresher. I'm excited. I love. What's ahead? Looking forward to it.
Certainly. And we're happy to have you here. Now, you started off on with Denver, went to some playoffs there with a very good football team. Last year, you go to Houston, didn't work out the way you wanted to. What went wrong, in your opinion, and what did you learn from that year in Houston that's kind of probably relit and restoked that competitive fire inside of you?
You know what? I have really nothing bad to say about Houston, man. Another big-time organization, man, where they have a vision going on over there. It's just, I believe that God didn't have that in my plan, in his plan. And, you know, there's no bad blood there. So I kind of want to leave that in my past, you know.
Sure.
The decisions that were made, and I learned a lot from just learning and watching the scheme and watching other teams and other players play. And also, it also was something that I needed. You know, this never really happened before when I went through. So I believe that God puts you through things that he doesn't give you nothing that you can't handle. And I'm glad that I handled that situation great. Now all I'm looking forward to, man, is leaving the Broncos and the Texans behind me, because that guy, I don't know him anymore. I'm a different guy now. I'm with the dog pound. So that's all I care about from here on out.
That's absolutely right, and you're absolutely right about putting your future and what you're going to do next in God's hands. And that's a great perspective to have. And as you went through this evaluation process, you talked about head coach Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown and what they're doing. Was there any, you know, one thing? Was it the players? Was it the city? Was it a change of scenery that really led you down this path with them seeking you out and you seeking them out to come to terms on a deal to bring you to Cleveland?
You know, so many factors, you know. I've been down this road before when I came into college, when UCLA was not winning many games, and we had a vision on wanting to win and change the program around, and now our program is becoming better. So when I came here to Cleveland, it was kind of that same vibe, but actually on a better scale. You know, one thing about NFL is that whenever you make a coaching staff change and you change things up, it's also good for the program and for the players. It's like you get a new attitude around. You know, I love the way Cleveland is expanding their facilities. The new jerseys, I love them. I think they're one of the best in the league. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of, like, okay, you know what? When these group of guys came and this and Sashi brung in Hugh Jackson and his staff and Coach Horton, I mean, they turned it around, and now the Cleveland Browns are better than they ever been. I want to be a part of that. You know, I kind of want to be on a team where people will doubt us. But then when we blossom and our time comes, I want to be involved. And I'm just excited, man, like literally. It's like
– you could tell.
I really feel like I've been drafted here, literally.
What do you say? Would you say are your strengths as a safety? Do you like to be in zone playing cover two looks? Do you like to get down and get into some man coverage against tight ends? What do you like to do as a safety?
You know what? A guy like me, I like to make plays at the end of the day. You know, throughout my career in playing football, you know, a lot of people try to stamp me as, oh, he's a guy that doesn't like to play the middle of the field. Well, you can't do it every snap. You know, I'm a guy, I play man coverage. I've blitzed. I've been in the box. I've made tackle for losses. So I try to work on my overall game. You know, I am a guy where I can read the quarterback and make anticipate routes and get into my ball hawking mode. I think God has blessed me with that type of skill. And this offseason, I've been trying to strengthen that strength of mine and continue to work on all my weaknesses as well. So my leadership is there. I'm a guy, I'm real big on film. You know, film is like my favorite movie. I don't watch movies and stuff during the season. It's only film. That's the only movie that matters to me. I'm a guy where I come in early and leave late. And, man, I just love football, man. Like football has saved my life, man. It's kept me out of trouble. And I believe that God brought me a sport. God gave me this sport for a reason, you know, and I love it so much, man. I'm just ready to get back out there April 4th and help this team do whatever it takes to be division champs.
And that's exactly, and it is going to be a challenge. And my last question for you, Raheem, is just, you know, playing it's got to be appealing for you as a safety after everything that you just said, what you like to do, and the film study, the challenges that are ahead. You know, playing Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, and Andy Dalton. And playing in a physical division, that had to be something that was very appealing to you. Something's going to be a little different for you, you know, coming from Houston and coming from Denver, and it's going to be a change of scenery. The weather's going to be a little bit different, and I'm sure it's something that you're going to embrace being a part of the Dog Pound here in Cleveland.
Absolutely. That's another factor that I love, too. I said, look, if you want to go somewhere and really prove yourself and actually play some big-time football, This division is where it's at. You know, I was once in the AFC West, and I thought that division was the best. But this division is, if you look at the history and all the great players that come out of here, out of this division, it's outstanding. So I want to come here also to step my game up. You know, when I'm on an off-season training, I have to think about Ben Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton, and Joe Flacco. And, you know, the great running backs that's in this league and the great, in the division and the great receivers, that's going to make me kind of like step my game up to say, okay, you know what, I don't want to be embarrassed. And also I want to be able to compete, man, and make plays. Because if you can make plays in this division, you know, anybody else you play, you know, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, you look at this division, and you talked about Ben Roethlisberger. You know, they've got Antonio Brown. They added Ladarius Green in free agency. They've got Marcus Wheaton. They've got some guys that can get down the field vertically in Baltimore. Steve Smith will be back. They signed Mike Wallace. They drafted Breshad Perriman. Again, guys that can get down the field. And then, of course, in Cincinnati, you've got the great A.J. Green. Is that something that gets you excited, knowing that you're going to have the opportunity to go up there and probably compete on some 50-50 balls with players the like of an Antonio Brown, a Steve Smith, or an A.J. Green?
Absolutely, because all the guys you didn't mention are big-time players, and you don't want to be the guy that just embarrassed. You want to be the guy. You want to be the guy that makes plays and be a force out there. But as much as we talk about those guys, I believe the Cleveland Browns has great players too, like Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams, Dante Whitner, Justin Gilbert. I already feel like our group is going to be very special. They were already special without me. And I want to be a part of that. And this is probably the most veteran group I've ever been a part of. And I'm just looking forward to it, man. I'm excited. And I'm happy to be a part of the Dogtown. I kind of like that name, too. It's pretty neat.
It is a good name. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
26 yet going into your sixth season. So you're still very young, still have a lot of football ahead of you, but you've got a lot of experience behind you as well in the league. What do you think is the one thing that you've learned in your time in the NFL that you're excited to apply here with this clean slate, with this deal with the Browns?
You know, one thing I learned about all my years, and I think it's one of the most beautiful things ever, is one thing about in football and any sport is that nobody remembers what you did last year. Nobody remembers whether it was great, whether it was good, because every year is a new year. Every year, and you never know what that new year brings you. So that's the beauty about it. You know, I've had some highs and lows in my career. I cannot lie, but every year I always told myself that you never know what you're going to do next. And that's what I was always looking forward to. So with this year coming up, I'm looking forward to the Cleveland Browns taking another step up in this division and being some big-time contenders later on in this year. So, like I said, I'm excited, man. Coach Jackson and Sashi and the rest of the coaching staff is going to do a great job, man. Their aura and their excitement and their energy is where it needs to be, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Raheem, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us here today, and certainly welcome to the Cleveland Browns, welcome to the Dog Pound, and excited to see you in April when you get to come in here, be a part of things, start taking part in workouts and getting ready for the 2016 season.
Thank you so much, you guys. God bless you.
All right, thank you very much. Raheem Moore, the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, again, a former second-round pick in 2011, was a standout at UCLA, and comes in with 9 interceptions in his career. A guy who is young but has had a lot of experience in the league. Coming in on a deal where things didn't work out like he would have wanted in Houston last year. I don't think he would make any bones about that. With an opportunity to kind of come in and bet on himself. That's what you do as a player when you sign a 1-year deal at the age of 26.
It is.
You're betting on yourself that, hey, I could come in here and prove it and get an opportunity to make more money. And that's what Raheem Moore is going to do. Going to compete with Jordan Poyer for that free safety spot right now. When you look at the roster, that's who he's going to be competing with there at free safety. So, well, good to have him strong, and happy he was able to take some time to be with us here to kick off the show. Obviously, yesterday, big news day. We talked about Carlos Dansby throughout the show, the team announcing after we went off the air also that Dwayne Bowe had been released from his contract. Not a big surprise there. And the team also announcing today that Don Jones, defensive back who came over in the middle of the season, was primarily a special teams contributor, and Terrell Pryor, the wide receiver, have both signed their restricted tenders and will be members of the Cleveland Browns here in 2016. All right, that'll do it for our opening segment. When we come back, we'll get into this show, 216-578-0850. Your thoughts here on Raheem Moore, Carlos Dansby, of course, Dwayne Bowe. The NCAA tournament kicks off today. The luck of the Irish. Happy St. Patrick's Day. A lot to get to here on this Thursday edition of CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, 216-578-0850. Strong interview from Raheem Morris. This is a guy that a lot of people seem to think at one point, you know, you go back and look at a scouting report, second round pick, big, good size for a free safety, 6'1".
Good school, big school.
Big school, UCLA, All-American, and a guy who just hasn't quite panned out, but very good athlete and an opportunity now to do some things here with the Cleveland Browns where he's going to get an opportunity to play.
Yeah, and I think from a signing standpoint, it's a Rob Houselerish type of deal, and hopefully the outcome's not the same, but it's a one-year prove-it deal, you know, and I believe that that's, for the most part, how we thought Sashi Brown and this analytical department in regards to scouting and signing free agents would approach free agency, and therefore, you've got a guy with significant experience who didn't pan out last year on an okay football team coming into a again, I'll call it a bad situation with where, you know, the ground floor of where the Cleveland Browns are with an opportunity to compete. That, as you listen to the words coming out of his mouth, he had to say compete or be competitive at least a dozen times. And that's what I would think you would want in players coming to Cleveland.
That's exactly what you want, a guy who's clearly hungry to get things back. And look, he's only 26, so he does have a chance to really resurrect his career. And if he can play well for him, he can find a long-term home and get a nice payday as well. Let's go to Jim in Stowe now. Jim, welcome.
Hey, Nate, Matt, holy moly. I love that guy. That guy is already my favorite Brown. I was stunned. You know what? Free agents have no reason to come here if you look at last week. If I had a roster full of that guy, oh, my God, we're in good shape. To say that I'm blown away by this guy, I've never even seen him play, to be honest with you, but I am blown away by this guy. Love that interview. I mean, you would have thought the Browns paid him $1,000 to say what he said. I know they didn't, obviously.
Right.
That had to be one of the best. Oh, my God. Drink that Kool-Aid, baby. Drink it.
Drink it. Guzzle it down. Hopefully it's green today for St. Paddy's
Day. Oh, my God. Love that guy.
You know, Raheem Moore, as we talked about, when you're a second-round pick, there are a lot of expectations. We all know he had the play against the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs that is, I'm sure,
Kobe Jones
hurt him, stung with him. And then now you've got, of course, goes to Houston. That doesn't work out as well. But this is a guy who has a lot of talent. He's got a lot of raw ability and has an opportunity, I think, to get an opportunity to play and do something. Clearly, great attitude. And this is a guy who I think knows, hey, I got to go out there and do it. I got to go produce at this point.
And I think he's been a lot of places. He's had a lot of experience. And as he conveyed, there's a few things that he'd like to keep in his past that are in his past. And so he's only looking forward. And what is in front of him is competing for the Cleveland Browns. And you've got to like that. And I think if you go back, and maybe we'll have the opportunity to play some of the sound of DeMario Davis, you know, and what he said in talking to Hugh Jackson and what wowed him about the Cleveland Browns. Because from an outsider's perspective, you know, yes, the building is being renovated and it's 3-13 and we've just lost how many unrestricted free agents to other clubs. There's not a lot of glitz and glamour when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, but yet the two individuals that walked in this building, not simply because we wrote them a check, are latching on to what they're hearing from the people of power in this building.
Yeah, and this is a great opportunity for a guy like Raheem Moore to come in and prove himself. Again, he's got a good pedigree. It has not worked out the way that he would want it to. Now he has an opportunity to get it to work out here with the Cleveland Browns. He's going to be hungry. He's going to be team first. He's going to be doing whatever he can to get himself where it is. And that's what I like about it. This is a risk-free move by the Cleveland Browns. 1 year on a guy who's a former second-round pick, who's 26 years old, who has been a starter on playoff teams in the National Football League. This is a guy that it fits the model. Cheap, no risk, young. That's what's going to happen. Cheap, no risk, young. That's what the Browns look for. Reggie in Youngstown. Reg.
How you doing, fellas?
Good, man. How are you, Reg?
Oh, good, good. I enjoyed the interview right there. Now, I was just going to say, guys, I'm really kind of, you know, very happy to see how the Browns, you know, Sashi and Coach, you know, Coach Jack is doing with the team and stuff. I'm really looking forward to training camp this year. I was discontented last year with how everything went. But this year, I'm really looking forward this year to trying to go up to the training camp. I think it's going to be very interesting. I just love how these guys are really going about it, man. It's been a long time, as the song used to say, but I knew a change was going to come, guys. So I'm very happy, man, how everything is going, and I really appreciate how you guys is really covering it well, man. You're bringing out the great points and stuff, and we're getting rid of a lot of players and stuff that I felt should have went for a long time and stuff. So looking for a positive year, fellas. Keep it up.
Thank you, Reg. I appreciate the call. Alrighty. And my expectations of what I understand reading into some of the language that Hugh Jackson has used at his press conferences, speaking at the combine, the type of team that they're putting together with it being a rebuild, is this training camp is going to be a standard. And the two things that I expect it to be is, A, it's going to be physical, because to play in this division, you have to play physical. To compete in this division, you have to play physical. You can win with physicality with less talent in this division.
Yep.
It's been proven. The other thing that I believe Hugh Jackson will bring, along with the significant experience amongst this coaching staff, is not only their expertise, but I believe the tempo and the pace with which they push these athletes to practice under. It's not walk over to the other field to start the next period. It's going to be boom, 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 boom. It's going to be calculated, quick tempo, and physical. And because this is your opportunity to sculpt the model of what the 2016 Cleveland Browns are going to be. And ultimately, looking back, going back to training camp last year, the lackadaisical country club approach with guys getting day off and how unphysical it was. What was the result? The result was a lackadaisical,
underachieving,
no heart, non-competitive 3-13 football team.
And you were incensed by camp last year. I mean, you made people read between the lines and heard you said they could get that, but you were really, really unhappy, and you felt that it was a bad predictor for that season.
Yes.
You knew that the whole time.
And I take into account the fact that we are practicing under a different collective bargaining agreement. And I would say, if I would urge any other Browns fan, okay, if you truly want to understand what we're talking about and what winning football is, drive to wherever the Steelers wear, innocuous gear. Drive to Latrobe, or drive to wherever the Baltimore Ravens practice, or to wherever the Bengals practice, because they're obviously in our division. They've won our division or made the playoffs coming from our division almost every year in the last 5 years. Okay, some of them 2 in 1 year, some of them 3 in 1 year, right? And I believe if you go watch their practice and see what they do, that Harbaugh and Tomlin and Marvin Lewis, and how they're pushed on that particular day in the middle of training camp, and come back and watch what we did or how we work, it will be significantly different. And it's why the product on the field when we compete against those teams is significantly different.
Absolutely. No question about it. And I think that you're going to see that. And really what good coaching is maximizing the talent that you have. And I think the Browns are banking on that this staff, which, as we talked about, has more than 100 years, over 100 years more NFL coaching experience than our previous staff, that they can find these guys who maybe weren't reaching their peak potential and try to get the best out of them here with the Browns. And again, no risk. It's cheap. It's basically one-year prove-it deals as they continue to try to find the foundation pieces. Is Raheem Moore, DeMario Davis, are these guys transcendent players? No, but they're guys that can come in, contribute at
play
the right
your
price,
role.
Play their role, and help this team become
play
a
your role. The one thing coming, at least from a defensive standpoint, and that's why, having a candid conversation with Carlos Dansby, even just talking about the defense, having played, for Todd Bowles in his past, and different coordinators in his past, and different schemes, and just understanding everything that was wrong with it, there was no rhyme or reason to what we were doing. And that's why the mishmash looked like a mishmash, both on the field and statistically.
Yeah.
There's no way you can go out there and do what we were doing and statistically have it add up to being a good quality high-level defense. It just doesn't happen. You have to give DeMario Davis a role, let him go play it. Don't deviate outside your role. We don't need you to play like an $8 million player. Play like a $4 million player in your role. That's it. Danny Shelton, we drafted you 12 to do this.
Do it.
Go do it. That's it. Give him
Preach.
A
Give him a role. Go play your role.
Fired up, Matt Wilhelm.
Do your job.
Do your job. Let's go to the finest city in our country, Las Vegas. Talk to Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, I like that intro, buddy. Top of the morning to both of you, first off, man.
Thank you very much. You too.
Yeah, 10:28 in Vegas is probably 10:28 in the morning in Vegas is maybe the end of the night.
Yeah. No, just two quick real things on St. Paddy's Day, man. I don't like the misconceptions, man. St. Paddy's color is not green. It actually is blue. And actually, St. Patrick is born and raised in England before he went to Ireland. So those are two things, me being almost 100% Irish, that I just don't like. A lot of people's misconceptions.
So do you wear blue on St. Paddy's Day?
You know what? I do not, because it's just, no, it's just, we brought this.
You can't swim upstream.
The green pasture in Ireland.
It's like, sweetest day to you,
yeah,
then, right?
Exactly.
Manufactured holiday.
Yeah, I've been to Ireland twice, but it's green pastures. That's why green is our color.
Sure.
St. Paddy's Day. But I tell you what, man, I wish I was home in Cleveland right now, because I'm getting all these texts from my buddies and family members, St. Paddy's Day, happy this, happy that. It's like Christmas almost. And back in the West Coast, it is not celebrated like it is in Cleveland or Boston or New York or whatever
Chicago.
It may be. So,
yeah.
So I really miss it. But anyway, buddy, you guys talked about Raheem Moore, and he sounds like he's hyped. He didn't sound like he was just, you know, reading a script. He sounded like he was, you know, that's what you want, obviously.
Definitely had some passion.
Right. He's not the end all. I just want that enthusiasm for all of our players, and he's hyped up about being a Cleveland Brown. And again, Raheem Moore is nothing to just, you know, laugh about. He's a player that was, you know, phenomenal coming out of UCLA. His NFL career has been, you know, okay, I guess. But I tell you what, when you get a player that we need, especially the secondary, to give all that they have, I honestly don't know what Whitner's going to give next year. And he brought up, you know, great players. He actually said the word Justin Gilbert. So I don't know what he knows that we don't know. But I do know. Yeah, but I tell you what, man, Raheem Moore, I guess, is one good step forward in this process. We obviously have the draft, and we're still going through, you know, free agency and what we should or should not do. And there's not too many slim pickings. There's only slim pickings probably left. But, again, I just want to reestablish the fact that Raheem Moore's attitude sounded great. You know, obviously being a Cali guy and playing in an atmosphere, you know, in the NFL for a long period of time, a six-year tenure with a great team, and now coming to Cleveland and still having that, yeah, I want to get it done. This is great. And like you just alluded to, he's 26 and he's been in the league for 6 years. He must be one of the youngest players to ever be selected in the NFL. If he was selected at age 20, I don't know if there's only maybe a handful of guys that were under 21 that's been selected. But again, man, that's a good pick, and I like his enthusiasm again. And again, guys, and everyone listening out there, have a happy and safe St. Paddy's Day, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Love it. Let's go. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from DeMario Davis, the other new member of the Cleveland Browns. Plus, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and, of course, the great Jason Gibbs. Gibbs, what did you think of Raheem Moore?
I thought he was pretty solid.
He's fired up. He should be. This is an opportunity for him to get things back on track. Things were not on track last year.
Well, I like his approach. You know, and a year from now, if you don't play well, you probably won't be in the league.
Right, but yet you have to love the confidence he had and the fact that he'd love to end his career here. And that's
put
4 or 5 years. What's that?
It's put up or shut up time.
Yeah, and he gets it.
Yeah, you were a second-round pick, and I think, you know, sometimes it sets in for guys earlier for some and later for some.
Yep.
As to, this league is not all about you. The league will survive with or without you.
Yeah.
And I think it takes some guys longer to figure that out than others. And I feel like he's figured that out, and he knows that he's got to make the most of his opportunity right now because he may not get another one.
And do you think that in his reference to Justin Gilbert, that I would imagine adding someone like him to that DB room and that locker room who, you know, has not lived up to the hype might be a good thing for Justin Gilbert?
Yeah. It's opportunity. Opportunities are out there.
I don't know. He's a deep sleeper.
They need to be. They need
that damn Casper mattress.
Oh, fine mattress. I sold another one yesterday to my good friends, the Novaks.
At what point are you getting commission?
It's not even about commission. I really don't care.
I think you should.
But that has nothing to do with it. That's why I don't care about that. I do it because I was a person, you know, I'm 6'4". You got your tall. You're tall. I don't know if you guys ever have it. I used to wake up in the morning with back pain, lower back pain, the majority of days.
My back kills me still.
The vast majority of days. And I got sick of it, and I got this mattress, and now I wake up without back pain every single day.
It's like Shy Sellers. You love prime rib. You go there, and then you're not going to be able to go anywhere else.
Oh, boy.
Shy Sellers.
Yes, please.
That's all it is, Gibbs.
Yeah.
Not to mention, hey, it's rated strong in other categories.
I will say this, too. I love the Wilhelm rant.
I did love it.
He couldn't be more right.
Yes.
I will never forget last season. This summarizes it right here. We're in Rochester, New York. I'm watching Justin Gilbert try to pick up his jock every time he's out on the floor 20 yards down the field as some guys just run in circles by him.
In those one-on-ones?
Oh, my
scary.
God. Okay. So I'm walking. I'm on the Buffalo Bills sideline. I got to walk through the players. You know, I've got my Browns gear on because we're getting ready
to do Browns Daily. They try to beat you up.
The one DB.
It was Aaron Williams, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was Aaron Williams. Aaron Williams goes, hey, Browns guy. And I'm like, oh, crap, he's talking to me. And I turn around. I'm like, yo, what's up? He goes, yo, you want to tell your boys to maybe bring a little bit better effort tomorrow?
Yeah.
In a week, we could use a little challenge, actually. We get more of a challenge against each other.
Yeah, they said that. The Browns did bring better energy the second day.
I remember, but it was an hour and 15-minute glorified walk.
Hold on. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember this, but then I did my video from there, and I said it was pretty much a lackluster performance. It seemed like the Browns were out-executed, out-efforted, and got dominated all over. And I remember Craig watched it, and Craig was pissed.
Yeah.
Remember he went by me, and he like
– I remember that.
What did he say? It was like something like you telling me we didn't try hard enough yesterday or something like that. Is that what you said?
Going back just because I'm an analogy guy. You know what it is? It's we're representing a heavyweight fighter, okay, who's getting ready to fight the champ, like to fight the champ, okay. We're preparing to fight Ivan Drago, and we're Apollo Creed or vice versa, right? And your sparring partner is beating your butt up. In training, practice, camp, whatever, in preparation for your bout.
Right.
That's you're not bringing it every day. You don't have the edge to go out and play. We were talking championship after 7-9, winning the division after 7-9, right? Expensive defense and shutting people not down, but shutting people out.
I would liken it, and you know better than me about this. I thought our approach would be the approach if we were a veteran-laden team, which I guess we were, that was 14-2 the year before, that was like saving our energy for the regular season because it's like a lock that we're a Super Bowl team or we're going to the playoffs.
Yes.
And instead, we're a team that's trying to scratch and claw our way up the mountain.
And we're rotating in guys that aren't even going to make the team playing, you know, in place of Joe Hayden while he gets a rest day on the starting defense. That doesn't happen other places. It doesn't. It never did when I played. Quinton Jammer never got a day off unless he was injured. You know, LaDainian Tomlinson wouldn't get touched in practice because he was the franchise, right? But he took every rep that he was due to take. Never got a day off. Wouldn't play in the preseason, a la Adrian Peterson and many other players.
Fair enough.
But the guy was practicing all week.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Days off for guys that didn't deserve days off.
I remember there was a day last year. K-1 got a day off.
I just remember.
It's an undrafted free agent in his second year in the NFL.
Some people think the Tour de France is a major bike race. The Tour de Berea.
Last year was out of control. But,
yeah,
I mean, look, you have. And part of it, you got a whole new strength staff. You have a whole new performance-enhancing staff here.
There are eight gentlemen.
Eight.
There are eight gentlemen. The director of performance, Adam Beard, put together a army of eight individuals, and Evan Marcus, this dude, he comes from Minnesota.
Is that the guy that looks like Goldberg?
Looks like Goldberg. Probably can still lift the world, right?
He looks strong.
We've got a gentleman who's, what, a Taekwondo expert or something like that, you know, to work with
hands,
and pass rush and so on and so forth. I mean, we've got an army of people to get these guys ready to play. So they're not playing around.
It will be we know what we're doing here, right? We're getting rid of some of the better players.
Everything's going to feel new.
Everything's going to feel new. I think that you're going to see a consistently, if you do come out to Berea and as people, like, you know, come out to watch training camp, I think you're going to see a greater sense of urgency than I think we've seen.
That's the tempo and pace that I was talking about.
I don't need to see walkthroughs at training camp.
There's always limited to what you can do, but I just think I want to see a greater sense of urgency. And the other thing is that I would like to see is that, you know, for example, those guys at the Bills, and I'm glad you brought that up in Rochester last year. Those guys from the Bills were talking so much crap to the Browns. They were throwing Terrell Pryor around like a child. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember when they hit Marlon Moore?
With the red jersey.
With the red jersey on and knocked him down like they didn't care. Now, Marlon got up because Marlon Moore is one tough SOB, but the tenor of the team, nobody else did. Marlon Moore is going to go try to fight a whole team.
And Rex Ryan stood there with a smile on his face because that's what he expects from his guys.
But there was nobody got pulled aside on our team and was like, got in their butt and said, we need to go out there and do something.
I even remember Manziel getting drilled two or three times. Total late hits after he threw the
ball.
Well,
I was paying the guys to do that.
Not one guy coming to standing up and saying something, man.
That
was your offensive line, by the way, that's gone.
I was going to say, I truly believe, and I said it when Mitchell Schwartz, I believe that when you think about what this team wants, and think about the way that the Cincinnati offensive line was. They were nasty. Whitworth's a nasty dude. Good player,
Andre
nasty.
Smith.
And he's now in Minnesota with Theodore. They added Boone there. They got physical
and
on that
Holt
line.
Coming back still from injury?
Yes. I truly believe that when no one on the Browns offensive line reacted to Arthur Motes trying to take Johnny's head off
in Pittsburgh,
I really think that put the wheels in motion that maybe some of those guys wouldn't be back.
But what doesn't make sense, though, since Johnny Manziel was released, is that sources close to Johnny thought the coaches didn't want him, but yet every player so openly accepted him. But yet the players on the field didn't go to bat for Johnny. So what I'm suspecting is that Johnny was a little bit more relatable to the defensive side of the football than he was the offensive side of the football.
And you know what? This is a great point. You're right. And this guy Garrett goes back and says, this has been a trend with the Browns for years. Remember when Delhomme was body slammed by Ndamukong Suh? That was a preseason game, was it not, Gibbs?
It was.
And James Harrison hit on McCoy?
And nobody does anything.
No,
I think that
we don't have anybody that stands up and goes after someone.
And I think that you need that. That's what this team needs.
And yet the Bengals and Steelers are brawling
before
the game even starts.
You got the Steelers coach with 2 minutes to go on a field. A position coach.
He won them that game.
And you have Le'Veon Bell's talking smack via Twitter to Eric Weddle already about choosing the wrong team and the competitive nature of who's going to win in the division and why he chose Baltimore for a place to win when the Steelers, as he feels, are going to win the division. That's already happening.
Yeah. We've got to earn our way into those conversations and that smack talk. But I just think what you talked about, just the attitude of the team. And I think that you tell me who sets that tone. And I know it's on guys in the locker room to do it as well. But, I mean, do you kind of get that from your coach? Do you take on the person?
Your position coaches.
Your position coaches.
Your coordinators, behind closed doors, instill their expectations in your position coaches. Your position coaches, you know, convey the information on what needs to be executed from a schematic defensive standpoint. And then they're the ones that also set the expectation for, this is how 9-on-7 is going to go today. You know, we're going to enforce ourselves and what we do on our, I don't care, zone scheme, power scheme, shotgun, under center, doesn't matter what they do, they're not gaining a yard on us because we're going to out-execute them and we're going to punch them in the mouth. And this is your own team.
By the way, if looks are tell you anything, Hal Hunter is not going to tolerate
he will not.
Softness.
No.
He really looks like he would kill, he looks like he'd kill somebody. He's the most serious, hardcore-looking dude I've ever seen. He walks around. He does not look happy. It looks like somebody peed in his Cheerios every single day.
Well, he just lost Mr. Schwartz and Alex Mack.
But he's looked unhappy ever since.
I know.
Yes, indeed. All right, when we come back, we'll go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Sorry, we got a little bit of a rant going on there here from me and Wilhelm today. Gibbs was even in on it. Gibbs, you were called out. You didn't appreciate it.
I wasn't. I wanted to fight, but then I realized, yeah, that's going to be a bad, bad decision.
All right, we're going to the South, Houston, Florida, when we return on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Gotta love Gibbs, really bringing the theme music. I love it.
We should be drunk right now, and I'm very surly about that.
By the way, we should be. Announcer Bob wants more rants from us. He says he likes it when we go on rants. He's chanting more rants, more rants.
The rant.
You can't force them.
You have to naturally come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have had what? Maybe 10 in a year and a half. So they can only come when they come.
How many would you say I've had?
Well, since we've assumed the number two overall pick when it's come to Jared Goff, at least a dozen.
Just Goff rants? Well, what about this today at Bleacher Report? Matt Miller saying an NFL GM told him.
Here we go again.
That he believes a team is going to trade to the number one overall pick to take Jared Goff, who is the smartest quarterback to come into the game in terms of ability to process information since Andrew Luck.
And who is his best guesstimation, or yours, on that trade partner? Who would that be?
Ugh, the Rams.
So that, okay. Which, keeping him on
going
the West
to LA,
Coast.
Going to LA, making a splash,
and he'd be
getting there,
a
California
rock star
kid.
Guy.
Yes.
Okay, but
blonde,
does that mean...
tall.
212. All lean and...
really, really ridiculously good looking.
Yes. Now, does that mean Tennessee taking 16? Because I think Tennessee, then, as a franchise, does not take a step forward in any way.
Depends what kind of haul they get. It depends what they get.
And does Tennessee hold the 33rd pick in the
yeah.
Okay, right behind
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they're right behind us in the second round.
Okay. But
that could end
that
up moving into the middle of the first, picking up a future first, picking up, you know.
Yeah.
But from a Rams team, and you're picking up a future first from a Rams team that would be starting a rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, so you're probably thinking that's probably
five
a pretty
games
good.
Or less.
Well, it is Jared Goff.
Tell that to yourself.
216-578-0850. Let's go to Steven in Houston. We said we were going down south. Steven.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. I love the show. I'm a diehard Browns fan. Love the Browns my whole life. I don't even remember some of those plays that people talk about, where the drive and things like that, because I was upstairs in my room crying. I don't remember.
Okay, good. Well, good.
I heard you say it just a minute ago, Wilhelm, and I heard the Carlos Dansby interview with the Golden Boys, and they asked him, you know, what went wrong from the 7-4 start. And he was a nice guy. You know, he's a gentleman about everything, but he said, you know, definitely egos got in the way. And I've seen us over the years, we'll say we have a plan. The Browns have a plan. We're going to stick to our plan. And things go wrong or something happens, and we move away from the plan. I like that Hugh Jackson said, hey, I'm going to call plays because that's what got me the job. So
yep.
he's not deviating away from what got him the job and why he's here. And then I think that if we, you know, although, yeah, you get a little panicked by us losing players and stuff like that, I think if we continue like we're going and we stick to our plan, first of all, we'll actually have a plan. But second of all, I think we'll be in a position to have what I think is a real team. And when we got a real team where we don't have all so many egos in the way, we'll just have guys trying to compete here. We got, you know, over 100 years of culture and experience you guys mentioned. And we can really put together a team. And I never forget that time when the Patriots had for the Super Bowl at their – just introduced as a team. They didn't want individuals introduced. They just want to be introduced as a team. So I'm encouraged. And it's hard, man. I mean, sometimes I take this app off my phone. I put it back on my phone because I'm frustrated with the Browns. But I love the Browns, and, go Browns. I hope everything, you know, goes right.
Go Browns.
Awesome. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, and I think I'm liking what I'm hearing from Hugh Jackson. I believe the pedigree that he has, both as a head coach, having the control before, creating the scripts for practices, and holding those individuals accountable. And that was a beat up Raiders franchise that went 8-8 under Hugh Jackson. And of course, the passing of Al Davis is probably a little bit of the reason why, or a lot of bit of the reason why he wasn't the Raiders head coach moving forward. You have to love the time that he spent with Joe Flacco and in the Ravens organization that so many people speak so highly of. And then understanding our division coming from Cincinnati. And I think that's the one thing that a lot of people might discount because we're losing some of these talented players. It's his ability to interject the knowledge of understanding this division, how to win in this division, how to exploit some of the weaknesses of what looks like a really good Ravens defense or a so solid Bengals defense, because he was in those rooms. He had the sleepless nights associated with preparing for them. So maybe we have a little drop-off of talent, but we have that advantage that no one else can say they truly have, at least from a Cleveland Browns standpoint, going forward against these opponents.
Absolutely. Good points, as always, from Senor Mateo. Yes. Didn't even need a rant.
It just rolls off,
just
man.
Rolling, yeah, just like
it's all in there somewhere, bro.
Let's go to Gerard in Florida. Gerard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
And Merry March Madness.
Merry March Madness to you, too. How many brackets do you have, Phil?
Oh, man, I got too many, but I got Michigan State, a lot of them.
Michigan State winning it all?
Yeah.
All right, I have them in the championship game, but losing to Kansas.
Okay, all right. Two things real quick. I do like the signings that we recently got, Davis and Moore. I think they'll be a big part of our defense this year and the upcoming years. And I also like the out with the old, in with the new guys mentality, that we're sticking with it. And I was wondering, with Pastor and Betonio playing both the same positions basically last year, and Pastor doing so good filling in for Betonio, do you think we're going to stick him at the left guard and put Betonio at right tackle, or flop it the other way? What do you think?
I think Betonio's staying at guard. I think Austin Pastor will compete with Alvin Bailey, the newly signed Alan Bailey, at right tackle, provided that they don't make any other moves. I think that would be what you'll see happen there.
Yeah, and I think the reason why, I understand Joel Bitonio is coming back off of injury, but with this new Hugh Jackson like power run scheme and the athleticism and physicality that Joel Bitonio played with as a rookie, kind of lost a little bit, in that scheme last year, a little uncertainty with John DeFilippo from a run game standpoint. Is it zone? Is it power? I like him, and he reminds me of a player that I played with in San Diego who kind of flourished as an undrafted free agent, Chris Dielman. Big, physical, mean streak, athletic guy who got up on you and, pulling around, LaDainian Tomlinson running right up his you-know-what,
yes,
but leading him around, getting up on a linebacker and being
physical.
Posterior. But being physical at the point of attack and allowing a physical runner like the Crow to get a head full of steam and go get 4 or 5 yards every time, and then you cover him up one time good and the Crow goes for 40. I like him at that left guard because your guards and the athleticism of your guards to get around, a double team and get up on a linebacker and pop through and maybe get up on a safety is what a power run game is all about.
And that's what this is going to be, a power run game,
yeah,
which is why you need a little bit of nastiness, and the Browns certainly are going to try to impart that under the tutelage of Hal Hunter, who is very, very intense. Let's go to Lewis in Shaker Heights. Lewis.
Go Hampton. Hampton's going to beat UVA today, baby.
Hampton, yes.
Hampton University.
Do you know?
You're going to knock off the number
hold
one.
Hold on. Do you know who went to Hampton? It's a big part of the Cleveland Browns front office.
No, who?
Sashi Brown.
Sashi Brown went to Hampton?
Hampton undergrad, Harvard Law School.
Get
yes.
out of here.
Yes, it,
in his pirate, that's what I'm talking about.
In his office, he's got two helmets. He's got a Hampton helmet and a Harvard helmet in there, along with some Brown stuff.
Wow, I did not know that. When I see him, I need to talk to him. Okay, with all this being said, then I just see a big difference in Cam Irving's strength.
I hope we do.
I expect him to be nothing like he was last year. I'm about to put Sasi, fellow Hamptonian, and Hugh Jackson on blast. I'm 53 years old. I can bench press 365.
Good God.
Hello, Cam. Cam, I'm an old man. Okay? Well, let's get it together.
Get it? Yes. Well,
thank you.
You got it. Appreciate. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that very, very much. Cam Irving, you know, when you're in the off season like this, when you're in the off season as a player who needs to get stronger, and you know that, do you have an opportunity? Do you have an opportunity? Do you have an opportunity to talk to these strength coaches and get in there, or is it with your own guy only?
No, at this point right now, because these are all new guys, the one player or the few players that we've seen in this building were A, Alex Mack prior to his departure. I know Danny Shelton, as we've heard, he's out in the community, which is an amazing thing, you know, working with the, you know, the PR staff and the community people, community relations, doing a lot. He's been in touch with this staff, probably because he has expectations set for himself. They're also going to want to closely monitor his weight so that it doesn't become a reason he can't play three downs in the National Football League. But for a guy like Cam Irving, I don't necessarily think that there are communications between both sides. Cam probably knows what he did to prepare for the combine and to get as explosive and into great shape. And I would hope that he would watch some of the film of his play with his strength and conditioning coaches or football mentor, or whoever he's working with positionally, to understand his weaknesses, because sometimes that's hard when you are A, not only playing in the NFL, but B, you were so successful at Florida State. You were drafted in the first round. Your ego is extremely large, and to no one wants to talk about the bad. But for a young player who could have such a large role and could play a large role for where he was drafted with this franchise, I would think you'd want to be outward with that and go, hey, I was getting blown up. I was getting stalemated. I had no punch. You know, I need to get this. I need to do this, this, and this. And let's watch this film and evaluate that. And I trust you to do those things to get me, to have me come in on April 4th. Let these guys not only know what I've been doing, but see the shape that I'm in and continue that growth.
Absolutely. All right, hour number two, we're going to hear from DeMario Davis. Take your phone calls, 216-578-0050 on this St. Paddy's Day March Madness edition of CBD.